A reading from Matthew 13:40-43. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.
So, how would you define this theologically? Is this kingdom theology at work here?
You could see it as the backdrop of kingdom theology. I think there's other places in Scripture that are much more explicit on what the kingdom is and kingdom theology, but certainly here, Jesus uses this word, and the Son of Man is a reference to the Messiah, who is the king that was long anticipated, the one that would come back upon David's throne, remembering a better day of Israel, and when they were at the peak of their success and experiencing this abundance and had lost it, and that was the backdrop for the people of that day. When is it going to be like when David was our king? And the message is, the day is coming when it's going to be better than when David was king, and Jesus is ushering in this kingdom. But part of the kingdom here is this declaration that one day God is going to judge. There's those who are of the kingdom and those who are not of the kingdom.
It seems to me that I'm kind of in a good place when it comes to dealing with verses like this, because I'm one of these people that came to Scripture later in life and therefore had married myself to the world's view of reality pretty completely. I was very much intertwined. It's, and not even in a fully intellectual way, just my assumptions were reflected whatever the culture was saying, and the culture was saying it through television, through newspapers, through commerce, through the way we lived our lives. And while I believe I saw darkness, I didn't have any understanding of what it was. I also saw it in myself, but I had ways of deflecting it or not dealing with it. And the kind of reality that Jesus is talking about here would have been so foreign to me, I would have had no comprehension whatsoever of what you just said or what the passage said to me or how it fits into the entire Bible. But it's critical to understand that judgment is part of God's nature.
Definitely, judgment is part of God's nature. He is the judge. We wouldn't want a God who is not a judge. That would be a mamby-pamby, pushover deity. And who wants a deity like that? All of us have a sense of judgment. I was with a friend yesterday who got a ticket on a throughway for not putting his indicator on when changing lanes, while people were passing us going 80 and 90 miles an hour. And the ludicrousy of that, we just laughed. We didn't get mad at the officer or anything, but there was a part of me that wanted to say, really? In the system of judgment, someone going 80 or 90 is far more a risk to the safety of people than someone who changed a lane on a throughway not using their indicator. And what did that show in me? There's a sense of judgment. I want a world that has order and comes out in the end. We don't want a God who's not judge. It would be terrifying, though, if we didn't know that he was also a God of love and that his balance between judgment and love is always his goodness. And this gives us a God that we can actually trust and have confidence in, not a figment of our own imagination.